Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilfin, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
I was talking to a guy that was trying to quit smoking. He'd been a chain smoker for years. And he said, you know, I think God's telling me to quit smoking. I said, yeah, boy, it sounds like it. Yeah, he said, my lungs are going bad. I can't talk anymore. By the way, Wayne, he said, do you think a person can smoke and still go to heaven? I said, yeah, you'll probably get to heaven a lot sooner than most people. Yeah. It's not the issue whether you smoke or not smoke or do this or don't do that. It's what is God saying to you? That's how you enter into the kingdom of God.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Jesus spoke often of the kingdom of heaven. He taught the disciples in parables so that they could grasp its significance. Well, for the next few days, Pastor Wayne will help us understand the value of the kingdom of God. It is something that you would sell all you have to possess. Here he is with a message entitled, Identifying Kingdom People.
Would you take out your notes as we begin a mini-series on something called the kingdom of God that we can miss? You know, you're going to see what you're looking for. Isn't that right? If you're not looking for something, you're not going to see it. If you're not looking for your shoes in the closet, even if it's in the closet, if you're not looking there, you won't ever find it. If you're looking for a certain kind of car that you want to buy, all of a sudden you see it everywhere. You're going to see what you're looking for. If you're looking for pimples, they're everywhere on your face. If you're looking for white hairs, they're everywhere. If you're looking for a lack of hair, you'll see that as well. But you're going to see what you're looking for. And if you're looking for the wrong thing, that's what you're going to see. Happened to me, I was doing my one-man canoe. I have a one-man outrigger canoe, and I go out sometimes alone just to kind of get out in the ocean. And if you know anything about this last week, there's a lot of wind, and so the waves are pretty gnarly. And so I kind of went out in front of Diamond Head, and I went out, paddled a little further out than normally because I didn't want to get caught in the breakers. So I was out in pretty dark blue ocean, and I usually don't paddle that far out, but I was out there and I was having just a nice time all by myself, and all of a sudden there was a fin that came up just and started going right around my one-man canoe. Now, I'd like to tell you that I'm a very spiritual person, and the first thing I did was start to pray, but I didn't. The first thing I did was, and I said to myself, just don't fall off. Just don't fall off this canoe. Just don't fall off. And then I said to myself, let's just get out of here. And so I started to turn around, but very slowly, lest I flip over. So I turned around, and just my heart was just going a mile a minute. And all of a sudden, just all around me, boosh, 20 dolphins. It was a dolphin fin. And they were everywhere around me, and they were spinning around me. And I said out loud, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The heavens opened up, and I heard, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, man. But for 15 minutes, I was paddling, just staying with them, and they were spinning around me, man. We were talking story. We were singing hymns. We did devotions together. It was the most wonderful thing. Oh, I tell you. But, you know, if you're looking for something that's wrong, I mean, I could have gotten out of there and would have missed the wonderful blessing of just being a part of this beautiful, of what God provided in these dolphins. They're just spinning in the air, just having fun, almost like they're laughing at me. But you could be right in the middle of something and miss something, can't you? The other week I came home and my wife was in the kitchen. She said, well, do you see it? I said, what? She said, do you see it? Do you like it? I said, what? She said, look. I said, are you pregnant? She said, no, 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 no. She said, keep looking. I said, am I pregnant? She said, no, come on. It's nice. So I thought she was trying to get romantic. So I said, you still think I'm awesome? She said, no, the wallpaper. I said, oh, the wallpaper. Oh, I've been waiting all day to tell you how beautiful that is. What's for dinner? Wrong answer. I'm starting to get used to sleeping outside. But isn't it true? You can be right in the middle of something and completely miss it. And if you're looking for the wrong thing, you'll miss it even worse. Well, there's something in the Bible that Jesus wants us so much not to miss that he mentions it over 100 times. And he's speaking not to people who don't know God, but God-fearing people. And he says to them, don't miss something called the kingdom of God. It's in your midst. It's not going to show up, he said. It's not coming to you with signs to be observed. For the kingdom of God is in your midst, but you can miss it. And he'll say some things like this: unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll miss the kingdom of heaven. Again and again, he says that. And I thought, whoa, Lord, maybe we're looking for something else. Maybe we'll miss the whole thing. Even after the resurrection of Jesus in Acts chapter 1, he spends only a little bit of time, but if you read, it says he talked about the kingdom of God. Paul, in prison, knowing that his days were numbered, didn't want us to spend our life looking for the wrong thing. So it said he called the people together and spoke to them the things concerning the kingdom of God. And he makes a distinction, Jesus does, about kingdom people and those that are just around the periphery of religious things, like the Pharisees. Even though the Pharisees went to church, they prayed, read the Bible, the Lord said they missed it. They missed it completely. He tells us in Matthew chapter 5, he says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 7, he says, just because you call me Lord, Lord, does not mean you will enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, you can have the right words even. You can look like a Christian. You can even go to church, read the Bible. But you know that we could spend a whole lifetime in this stuff and actually miss the kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is a point of entry where we can come under the rule and reign of God, where we trade the things of fending for ourselves and the treasures of the world for the treasures of God. You've got to make a choice. You'll hear at times the Lord say, you can't choose the God of mammon and the God of gods. You've got to make a choice. It's not a both and, it's an either or. And you'll never enter the kingdom unless you understand that and you do an either or. You can't, as one man said, you can't steal second with your foot still on first. You're going to have to make a choice. Otherwise, we can be like the Pharisees that look like, act like, even smell like. It happened to me. I was playing on the basketball team of our high school. You can tell it was a very small high school if I'm on the basketball team. And I was in my junior year and part of my senior year, and then I dropped out. But during that one basketball season, I was the shortest guy on the basketball team. Everyone was so much taller. And the coach would put me in the game when we were 50 points ahead and 1 minute left to play. One of those. And then he'd say, all right, Wayne, go in there, show them your stuff. But still, everyone was so tall, and I didn't want to mess up. I didn't want to get the ball and fumble it or mess it up or dribble it off my foot. So I would work really hard to look like a basketball player, but to keep myself unavailable to being passed to. I'd run behind other players. I'm open. And I'd run all over the place. And if the ball was over there, I'd run way on the other side of the court, up and down. And you know, and I would work really hard to keep myself unavailable to receive a pass. And when it's all done, I mean, I looked like a basketball player. I acted like a basketball player. I even sweat like a basketball player. Do you know the hard work it is to stay unavailable? You know, I was a part of the team, but I wasn't a part of the team. I was around the stuff of basketball, but I really didn't play basketball. And it's almost as if the Lord is saying, you can be around the stuff of God, but never enter the kingdom. And I wonder how hard some of us work because, oh, we don't want to get too much wrapped up in that now. Oh, you don't want to get too involved in that. You know, next month, Anna and I go on a little vacation, and I take her each year to her family reunion because it's the Warners and the Stewarts that came over on this thing called the Lost Wagon Train and in the Oregon Trail. So she's got a real pioneer kind of history. And so the Stewarts and the Warners get together, and it's a pretty big reunion. But there are some people that have the name of Stewart or Warner, and they have the pedigree, they have the papers, they have the birth certificate, they have the history, but they don't come to the reunion because they have some problems with some other people in that family. And so they just don't come because they haven't resolved some things. You know, it's funny, they're part of the family, but they're not a part of the family. They miss the family. Well, they have the name, they have the papers, they have the history, but they miss the whole family. I wonder if it can be like that in the kingdom. Are there identifying marks maybe that we can check ourselves by to see how are we doing? Are we just around the periphery? Or do we understand how valuable that relationship is? And what the king is saying is, if you will enter the kingdom of God, you will understand my provision. You'll understand my ways. And what you do away with, what you get rid of, what you trade off is never going to be a trade down. It's always going to be a trade up. And he gives us some of these identifying marks of what it means to be a part of the kingdom. It all begins with us wanting to know, wanting to enter. We've just come through a series called Ask, Seek, Knock. That happened with the disciples when he began talking to them about the kingdom of God. He says there was a farmer that had some seed and he threw it out and some fell on good and some not on good ground. And then the people said, oh, that's a nice story, and they went home. But the disciples came back, pulled on his toga and said, now, Lord, we know this is more than a story about a farmer with bad aim. We know it's more than that. Tell us. And the Lord's going to say something to them. Let's read at the top of our notes and let's see what he says. Ready? Go. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom mysteries revealed. To those who desire to enter in, not just know about, not just to hang around in order to get some of the fall off of the fruit, just kind of glean on some things, but still stay a part of what they want to do, fend for themselves. Those who really want to enter into the kingdom to become kingdom people. He said, because you have hearts to know, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. To you it has been granted. You see, the disciples didn't see the kingdom of God as just, it's just the general thing. No. It's something more, isn't it, Lord? And he said, that's an identifying mark. What is it? It's people, would you write number one, it's seen by people who have discovered its value, discovered the value of the kingdom of God. Lord, it's something special. It's not just being a part of this reunion and just sitting on the edge or having the name and not entering in. Lord, what is that relationship? What is that joy, that treasure? The Lord says, you really want to enter that? Yeah, Lord. You know its value. And he gives a word picture to describe the kingdom of God's value. And if you miss everything, catch this. I want you to see today the precious value of what it means to be involved in the kingdom of God. No, it doesn't mean just serving here, serving. No. It's about a relationship that's genuine and authentic. No pretense. No unresolved stuff that we kind of let linger around. No tolerated sin. Just say, Lord, I've got one life to live on this earth, and it'll soon be over. I want to do it right. Just want to do it right. And to see the value of gaining that. He gives a word picture to give us a story or a comparison. Let's read it. Ready? Go. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. See, it's like someone who sees some acreage for sale. And this person, in doing due diligence, realizes that it's a pretty expensive acreage. But as he's walking through the field, let's say he finds an oil well. There's an oil field on this acreage. And so quickly, knowing that no one knows, but he does, the value of that field, he knows. He goes out and sells everything he has in order to buy that field. Because he knows that when he buys that field, whatever he sold in order to get it, it will produce 1,000 times more. So when he's selling off his stuff, do you think he's doing it begrudgingly? Do you think he's saying, oh, I got to sell this baseball mitt. Oh, I got to sell this thing here. Oh, I got to sell my car. Oh, terrible. No, he's saying, man, just sell it and sell it with joy because I know the value of what this thing is. This lot is going to be precious. You see, that's what God is saying to us. Do you understand how valuable this thing called the kingdom of God is? Because sometimes people say, well, I'll go to church, I'll read the Bible a little bit, but you know, the Lord is saying, no, you can be a part of this and miss the whole kingdom of God. Don't do it. Enter the kingdom of God. Be a part of it. See its value, that relationship that we can have with the Lord. Everything else is subservient to that. The kingdom of God is so precious. I was talking to a guy that was trying to quit smoking. He'd been a chain smoker for years. And he said, you know, I think God's telling me to quit smoking. I said, yeah, boy, it sounds like it. Yeah, he said, my lungs are going bad. I can't talk anymore. And I said, well, yeah, has God been speaking to you about it? Yeah, I just feel I got to stop. He said, by the way, Wayne, he said, do you think a person can smoke and still go to heaven? I said, yeah, you'll probably get to heaven a lot sooner than most people. Yeah. He said, well, I mean, I said, well, it's not the issue whether you smoke or not smoke or do this or don't do that. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations, because you can have someone say, I don't do this, but I do this, I don't do that, and I do all the right things. My heart is real pristine, you know, my lifestyle is just perfect. I do all the right things. I don't do the wrong things. But you can still have someone that does all the right things, but their heart is still arrogant or self-righteous or condescending. So it's not whether you do all right stuff and no wrong stuff. It's what is God saying to you? That's how you enter into the kingdom of God. It's not saying, okay, I do all of these things, I follow all the rules. I know people that follow all the rules, and they're the most condescending, judgmental people I've ever met. But boy, are they right. They just do everything right. But it's not an issue of, do I do everything right and nothing wrong? No, you follow all the rules and you keep all the rules, but your heart stinks. So I said, what it is not whether you smoke or not smoke. It's what is Jesus saying to you right now about it? He said, well, I think the Lord's telling me to stop smoking. So I said, good, get rid of that. And he took out a pack of Camels. And he said, but do you know how hard it is for me to put this down and let it go? I said, knock it off. I said, Jesus gave his life for you. The least you can do is give a pack of Camels for him. Yeah, but it's still hard. And I thought, you don't understand the value of the kingdom of God. You don't understand that the Lord is saying, if you will trade this for the kingdom of God, you are not trading down, you are trading up. Every time God asks you to give something for the kingdom, you are trading way up. And when we say, we gotta do that for God, then either you don't understand how precious he is, the value of it, or you think that sainthood comes when you keep all the rules, regardless of your heart. No, the kingdom of God is so precious. Anytime the Lord says sell or get rid of and deals with you on something, whether it's thoughts or habits, and he says get rid of, you're trading way up. You're never trading down. How many times we say, well, I got to, it's like we're trading down for God. No. He gives another word picture so that we really catch it. And let's read the next one. Ready? Go. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had. And it's like a man coming into a store and the most precious pearls in the world are found there. And there's a pearl that's the most beautiful he's ever seen. It's almost translucent. You can almost see through it. And he says, this is the most beautiful pearl I've ever seen. He said, oh, yes, this is more precious than diamonds. This thing is more precious than gold. You're kidding. Yeah, this is like the only one in the world. Wow. Oh, I really want that. Does it cost a lot? A lot. Well, I'd like to buy it. It costs probably everything you got. Like everything? Everything. Well, okay. He pulls out his wallet. I got money in my wallet. Well, it might be a start. How much you got? Oh, I got $485. Good. He said, I'll take that. Okay, I'll take the pearl. Oh, no, that's just the beginning. It's going to cost a lot more than that. Well, I really want it. What else do you have? Well, I got savings. I got $20,000 in savings. Okay. I'll take that. Yeah, but if you take my savings, I was going to trade in my car and with the savings buy a brand new one. Oh, you have a car. I'll take that too. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. If you take my car, how am I going to get home? Oh, you have a home. I'll take that too. You're kidding. If you take my home, where will my wife and kids live? Oh, you have a family. I'll take them too. If you take all of that, now I have nothing. No, the merchant says, now you have everything. Do you see that? The kingdom of God is so far beyond what the world has to offer. Everything else pales in comparison to having a relationship with God, so that He's a friend and you speak with Him and you'll trade anything for the kingdom of God that would impede your way and your relationship with the Lord. You'll trade it out. And it's a no-brainer because you're never trading down to God. You're trading up. You mean I got to go to church? No, you get to go to church. You mean I got to give? No, you get to give. You mean I got to serve? I get to serve. Your whole mind is wrong in the things of the kingdom. It is a privilege. It's a trade up every time. And then we begin to understand how valuable the things of the kingdom are. But you mean I got to give stuff up? Uh-huh. I got to die to certain things? Yeah. Well, what's that going to do with my faith? It's going to prove your faith. What do you mean? You see, the people of the kingdom of God are those who understand that you graduate into the things of the kingdom of God. It's people who have graduated not to just a religion, but you graduated, would you write in number two, to a proven faith. A proven faith. You see, what makes you so valuable isn't the fact that you have faith. Mm-mm. No, you can express your faith through bumper stickers. You can express your faith through presence at a church or reading a Bible passage. But that's not what a proven faith is. A proven faith is, what has your faith given proof to? Is there proof in your life that faith resides in you? What has my faith produced? It is what it produces. Watch this. It's what my faith produces in virtue, produces in character, produces in long-suffering and patience and rightness and loving God and overcoming the unwillingness to forgive and the ability to overlook someone else's weakness instead of taking advantage of them. All of these things that my faith produces, that, the Bible says, now there is what we call a proven faith. That is more precious than anything else, even gold. Because you see, the things of the kingdom are so valuable. That's what the people of the kingdom are made of. It's a proven faith, not just having a faith. Let's read what he says. How do we get there? Let's read it. Go. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Why? That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, what he's saying is, what's more precious than gold? Faith? No. The what? The proof of your faith. Would you circle that? The proof of your faith. It's what shows because you have faith. Is there proof? Has your faith produced anything in you? Or are we the same? And the only difference now that I have faith is that I go to church and I used to not go to church.
I come to glorify you, identify with you, speak your name as my own.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Identifying Kingdom People by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a church, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. We'll see you there.
Well, Words of New Hope is heard each day at this time and sponsored by New Hope Oahu. Thank you for listening, and until next time, God bless you and aloha.
I come to glorify you. Identify with you. Speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. I come to crown you King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name.